Welcome to Wind Tucson. It's Thursday. It's windy. It's kind of cold, Matt. Not freezing, though. So
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it looks like we got one more 38 overnight. So we got one more in the 30s overnight. Sorry about
that. You're killing my flowers.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We've had a lot of serious stuff in the last few days, right? So we're going to open this show up today with some fun, which is for a very long time. For me, it's 13 years. I have had the privilege of working with the Alice Cooper's Rock and Roll Fundraising Bash, the School of Rock. And Alice Cooper has an amazing team of people behind him that work with these kids, really get them interested in music and the arts and how to run a music business, all aspects of entertainment. And one of the people that I have just the absolute privilege to call friend and somebody who just pours himself into these kids is Randy Spencer. And Randy, thank you so much for coming on Wind Tucson this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice. So I got an email from you a day ago and maybe a couple of days ago. Yeah, now a week ago. And this weekend coming up on April 2nd, you're having a concert. Alice is going to be here. Share with my listeners who else is going to be there. Alice is good enough, but there's some other big names. And this is all going to, and some of your teens are going to be performing. But this is all to benefit the teen centers. And then we're going to talk about
thanks so much. Well, as a nonprofit, we're a 501c3. We raise money every year to have about 110 kids a day come out to our two teen centers in Phoenix and Mesa. All the programs are 100% free. And on April 2nd at Los Cendas Golf Club in Mesa, we'll be having what we call a rock and roll bash. It's our 25th anniversary. Wow. For the event. And we have live performances from Alice Cooper, many teens performing music and dance. We have Robin Zander, the singer of Cheap Trick, one of my favorites, Sister Sledge. And we also have Tommy Thayer of Kiss and Ed Roland of Collective Soul. And it's a whole great night of live music, live auctions, where you can get a lot of really unique items. And we all raise money for the whole entire year to reach kids to do positive things with their time.
And the event is at Los Cendas Golf Club. Are there still tickets left, Randy?
We have tickets left. If anybody wants to get tickets, you can go to alicecoopersolidrock.com. That's alicecoopersolidrock.com, and they can purchase them right on our website. It's about 2,500 people, rock and roll, on a great golf course, plenty of food, and bring a lot of friends, and you'll hear some great music and be able to raise a lot of money to help some kids.
I've gone to several of these. They are so much fun, and there's no bad seat. The music is great. I saw Alice's grandkids there. As a matter of fact, Alice performed later in the night. The kids had been asleep. They woke the kids up to come see Grandpa play, and it's a family-friendly, wonderful event, but the cause... The teen centers are just incredible. Can you tell my listeners about what happens in these teen centers? What kind of things you're teaching? And then I also want to talk about the benefit to the kids. But let's start there with what does the teen centers offer?
Well, we describe ourselves as kind of a boys and girls club meets young life. So we have free music lessons, free art lessons, a free recording studio, free photography programs, free dance lessons, and everything for ages 12 to 20 is an opportunity for youth to spend their time in a safe, positive atmosphere, and then we can connect with them through music, art, and dance and guide them to not only a better pathway to help them overcome obstacles in life and to increase their talents, but to hopefully tell them a little bit about our faith, how God's love has changed our lives as a staff, and we can impact our faith to them. And hopefully, you know, through that, a lot of kids will be thinking more about Jesus.
And Alice and Cheryl Cooper have been married how long, Randy?
Well, I'm going to say approximately 38, 40 years. Don't quote me verbatim, but it's been a long time.
It's okay. Alice is supposed to know that answer. You're not married to Cheryl, so it's okay. You're off the hook on that. But what I don't know, I know it. You know it, obviously. But Alice Cooper... has always had strong faith, but got really vocal about it, I would say, in the last 10 years, and came out about his faith and thought it was important to share that with this next generation. And he's spoken more openly about it in interviews. And what was the catalyst to make him not keep it? He clearly has had faith for a very long time, but what changed that he talked about it publicly?
You know, just being a rock and roll icon, going through the pitfalls, whether you work in construction or banking or rock and roll, we're all human and we all have flaws. We all have difficulties. And whether you're a rock star or whether you're somebody that's working, you know, at a local coffee shop, we all have difficulties and challenges. And that's why we need to hopefully overcome those and come to know Christ and come to know God in a deeper way. And that's what Alice discovered. And his faith has kept him alive. His faith has kept him as a recovering sober person who overcome drugs and alcohol. And now we point kids, you know, to that faith every single day at our teen centers. And that's the catalyst for keeping our centers open.
And your two centers, one in Phoenix, one in Mesa, how many kids are you serving approximately each year? I know it kind of comes and goes and changes. And
we reach 3,000 youth per year, so we're an average of about 100 to 110 kids a day. We serve all teens. It doesn't matter if they're affluent, homeless, atheist, Jewish, Muslim. As long as they're a teen, 12 to 20, they're welcome to come into our building. And we love that we have a hybrid of so many different kinds of kids, and they're all learning great art and music and really thriving in life. And we're seeing many kids get jobs, many kids get college scholarships, many kids overcome potential suicide. And it's literally been a life-saving space for many teens in the community.
Randy, we're going to have to take a break in about a minute. Can you stay with us till the second half? I want to kind of talk a little bit more about the impact of this program on the lives of the kids.
I'd love to, absolutely.
Okay. Wonderful. We are talking to Randy Spencer, who works with Alice Cooper's teen centers. I was there when we opened the one in Mesa. It is so exciting to see kids come together. And like Randy said, all different kids, but really start to get confidence and experience different things in a setting that they don't get in school. And this is a huge undertaking. And Alice Cooper is a rock and roll star, but what he gives back to the community is unprecedented. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some other things that they do in the community and how important it is that we have these kinds of vehicles for our kids growing up. You're listening to Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. It's a little Alice Cooper there for you, in case you don't know, because some of us are older than others. And we are talking to Randy Spencer of Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Centers. Randy, thank you. And during COVID, you and I spoke because the teen centers weren't allowed to be open. And but you had kids come and sit in your parking lot because they had no place to go. And so there was a real impact. And it really let me know how vulnerable these kids are and how important this teen center is. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, of course. Our teen center is a safe space for all teens. And our teens, you know, have told us, you're one of the only places or the only place that I can come and I can feel safe. And that's for a variety of circumstances. But certainly during COVID, and we've seen that during holidays or occasionally when we're off, if we're, you know, doing a private event or we're doing some fundraising, we see teens just throwing around a football or skateboarding in the parking lot. And that's an honor and a privilege if a kid feels safe in our atmosphere. And that's the kind of culture and atmosphere we're trying to nurture to protect youth and inspire them and give them a better opportunity.
Well, and, you know, your webpage, if you Google Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Centers, and you can share what the actual webpage is, but if you do that, you can see it. There's a quote here from Alice: allowing teens to build confidence and discover their passion through music, dance, self-expression, and creativity. And Alice is all about creativity and not telling kids how to think or not what to do, but allowing them to discover something within themselves and express it creatively. I've seen so many different things over the years, from artwork to music to dance, to people actually running the boards and seeing it from the business side. So there is no aspect of creativity that you guys don't touch. And how important is that for young people?
It's discovery. I mean, a kid that's never picked up a paintbrush or never picked up a camera or never picked up a drumstick can feel love, and they can feel valued, and they can feel like I can contribute to something, and they can feel self-worth. And mental health has been important for years.
Absolutely.
But the last few years in particularly, you know, mental health has been so challenging for so many kids, and for a kid to walk in and feel validation and self-worth and to be able to express themselves through creating a painting or screaming in a microphone or playing a guitar or even socialization. A lot of kids come to our center, they've been online school all day, or they're homeschooled, or maybe they're struggling and they're couch surfing or they're homeless at this time. For them to have socialization and meet other kids and have positive adult leaders, that's such a large mental health improvement for teens, and it's so important.
Well, and one of the things that you guys really support is building a sense of self-worth. Can't say that fast three times this morning, and purpose. And I think that kids discovering their purpose, but with the conviction and the understanding of Jesus, of God, in that, it gives kids a resilience that I think right now in the world they need, but also gives them a greater foundation to take on anything that comes after this. Over last weekend, I was with a group of young kids that were flying. It's another way to do the same thing, a different sense of creativity, but really investing in these kids. It's such an important thing that we as in our local communities have to take on. Alice, how long has Alice been? You've said 25 years doing these centers, correct?
Yeah, we've been open for 27 years as a nonprofit and 12 years this summer for our first teen center. And, you know, we see kids every single day, you know, discover their talent. And we discovered 25% of kids are involved in maybe sports or after school programs, like maybe theater. But that gives 75% of kids of idle time with nothing to do. So that's why we've created our teen centers, to give those other 75% of safe space that they can learn.
We need to get you to create one down here in Tucson.
We would be honored to.
Okay. Well, you and I will talk offline. I have a dream about this, because this is my Arizona hometown. And obviously, I moved away down here 2 years ago. And Tucson just... there's some incredibly talented kids. Linda Ronstadt came from Tucson. So we've had some successful musicians come out of Tucson. And I think there's...
Calexico. I love that band.
Yeah. See, there you go. So maybe we do some partnerships. I was wondering about... proof is in the pudding. So every year you have an annual contest. Can you share that with my listeners? And that's open to anybody in the state. That's not just Mesa or Phoenix.
Oh, wow. So Proof is in the Pudding is probably our biggest program. We have an annual music competition starting in September. Jordan Sparks was our first winner. The winner of that gets to open for Alice Cooper and many celebrities in December at our Christmas Pudding concert. And we have over 100 bands and solo artists apply of every music genre every year. Last year, we had a band fly from Hawaii. We've had bands and singers come out from Nevada, California, North Carolina. And it's a great community for 130, 200 plus musicians just to come together for 2 months and perform, meet each other. And then they get other gigs, they get other opportunities. We just got done doing 35 national anthems for spring training for all the baseball teams here, where the kids got the chance to perform. And it's a really good chance to give them an opportunity to not only be a part of our teen center, but be a part of the community. We just had 8 kids doing a wall mural for the Oakland A's for spring training as well. So we're very involved in the community outside of our teen center, in addition to at the teen center.
And you guys have designed brochures and done ad campaigns and for other people. There really is no limit to the creativity that you do. It's exciting. And I just want to underline, Jordan Sparks was your first winner, and proof is in the pudding. And she's still out there doing things. She's acting, actually.
Yeah. Now. She's done great. She's been on Broadway in New York, and she wore an Alice Cooper Solid Rock bracelet on American Idol, and she won American Idol 2 years later after being a part of our program.
So you do find stars, and everybody that comes to you, you treat like a star. Can I ask about the license plate?
Yeah, we are privileged that Kathleen was even a part of helping us get it all passed, but we are privileged that we passed a bill last year for an Alice Cooper Solid Rock license plate with the state of Arizona, and we'll see that hopefully on cars in May or June. We don't have a date yet from the state of Arizona and from ADOT, but we're in the final stages, but we're really honored. Anybody that purchases that plate, $17 of it will go to help support youth. And we hope that everybody in Tucson will have Alice Cooper on their car and support this plate. It's a privilege for us to have it.
The Alice Cooper plate, for all you old rock and rollers, and I'm married to one, I think it's a cool license plate. And when they can unveil it, which I'm glad to hear that update, thank you. It took 2 years to get it through the legislature. Don't ask me why. But it's Arizona legislature, so actually maybe that's a good thing. But this plate, what Randy said, it's $17. And every time you renew it, it's a renewable contribution to the 501c3. And it is, you can have anything on your license plate, right? As long as it's an Arizona plate, if you live here in Arizona. I have a Marine Corps plate to honor my dad. I'll have to get another vehicle to get an Alice Cooper plate because I'm really committed to this. Maybe I'll put it on my husband's truck. That's probably the appropriate place for it anyway. But I think it is wonderful. And you can donate other ways, though. So what other things do you look for your teen centers from people in your community?
Well, people can just take time and come by and be a volunteer, whether that's playing ping pong or giving teens a music lesson. You know, one thing that we're really combating right now is hunger. There's a lot of teens that don't have a meal at home in the evenings or the weekends. So we're asking people to contribute either financially or if a restaurant wants to partner with us and bring over meals so we can provide a meal every single day for kids. And if anybody wants to be involved, they can call our office at 602-522-9200 and we'll have a conversation.
That's wonderful. And it's not wonderful that the kids don't have food. It's wonderful that you have those kind of partnerships. You also work with the local community college there to help get kids scholarships and to take them from your setting and making sure that they get an education.
Last year, we provided 8 college scholarships for people that go into music or culinary and lots of different areas, and we're really proud to have that, and we're looking to increase that more. So if anyone cares about education or any educators out there at universities that want to be a part of that, feel free to give us a call as well. We'd love to explore a conversation.
And so Randy, one last time, talk to us about the golf tournament. It's going to be on a golf course, April 2nd, concert with Alice Cooper, Tommy Thayer, and Robin Zander, and I know I'm Ed Rollins, Rolland. So, and you mentioned another name. So, please just share about that again, and give the website so people, if they want to go and do something fun this weekend, they have that as an opportunity.
Yeah. Again, it's April 2nd at Los Andes Golf Club in Mesa. They can even buy tickets at the door, and they can go to AliceCooperSolidRock.com to purchase tickets, and you'll see an evening with Sister Sledge and Dave Jenkins of Pablo Cruz, Ed Rolland, Tommy Thayer of Kiss, and Alice Cooper, and many teens performing. It's 5 hours of seeing Grammy Award-winning musicians and Rock and Roll Hall of Famers for a very nominal amount of money, and you're supporting a great cause. So we'd love to see you out there.
And I just have to say, Alice Cooper still puts on an amazing, great show. So he may be getting older, because we all are, but he still leaves it all on the stage and does it from his heart, and is just a huge contribution to the community. Randy, thank you for everything you do. I'll be waiting for my invitation for the license plate thing, just so you know. I'm invested. And just thank you for all the great work you do to love on these kids and to have them be successful. We'll talk again soon.
Our pleasure.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson, and this is Alice Cooper. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. I just have to say that I just love the work that they do helping kids. And it's so great. And I've had a front row seat to some amazing events. And I love doing the work. And helping them get the license plate seemed like it was going to be an easy thing, and it wasn't. But we're almost there, and that'll be fun, too. And I had a listener text me, the license plates are $25. So 17 of that goes to the charity, just so I didn't misrepresent the cost of the license plate. So I've now corrected myself, and that person will be happy that I did that. We are now going to shift gears from educating kids and having God in their lives to a place this week in Nashville, Tennessee, where it went terribly wrong, a Christian school where a lone gun woman came in and wanted to be killed by cops. And she was, but unfortunately she took six people with her before she was gunned down by law enforcement to mitigate the circumstance. And I've invited Betsy Smith, who is the spokesperson for the National Law Enforcement Association, to come on and just talk about this, because kids start to worry about security. And my own daughter has kids in school here in Vail, and school security is her number one concern. And how do we stop people from coming on our kids' school campuses, and how do we stop these from happening? So, Betsy, welcome to Wynn Tucson.
Hey, Kathleen. Thanks so much for having me to talk about this horrific event and what we can do to move forward.
And I want to clear up some... So, right after it happened, there was this talk that the side door was open, but in fact, the side door was locked. And the shooter shot through the door to get in, correct?
Right. She gained access by shooting up a locked door and then pushing through the glass and, you know, reaching in and gaining access. Remember, she was familiar with this school and knew where she could do this. And one of the staff members that was murdered tried to stop her from going any further. So she was a very, very determined shooter. But, you know, from the minute 911 was called until she was dead, 14 minutes passed. It's an extraordinary law enforcement response, and also an incredible response by the teachers.
I think the first person, I don't know if it was a teacher or if it was actually the director of the school.
It's the principal, you know, whatever you call her.
So she heard gunfire, didn't crawl under her desk. She actually got up, and she was on a Zoom call, I think, and ran from where she was to where the shooter was, and it cost her life. And people talking about that director said she loved the kids. If someone was in the school and they were having financial troubles, she worked to find money so the kids could stay in the school. She had devoted her life to this Christian school. My own daughter lives 3 minutes away from the school as a teacher, not at the school. Mm-hmm. And one of her dear friends was friends with the director and said that this woman was just an amazing, loving, kind woman, and what a tragic end to her life. So,
I want people to ponder, because there's a lot of talk in Pima County about this. Imagine if that teacher was armed and trained, that director, so that when she heard the gunshots, she could have approached that shooter in a tactical manner with a handgun and been able to engage her right there. Then we would not be we would be talking about a good guy with a gun instead of six dead people and a law enforcement response. So this is something we've been talking about in Pima County for a while. We are an open carry state, and yet all of our schools are gun-free zones. This school was a gun-free zone. One of the things we need to think about, Kathleen, is teachers and administrators and school staff who want to be armed and trained. We don't want to force anybody to carry a firearm.
Right.
But for those who want to be armed and trained, why not?
Well, and we, there may be, and I know that there's a huge shortage of school resource officers. Like there's actually budget for them, but we don't have the bodies to fill. And I would love to, there's a ton of retired law enforcement officers in this community. There's a ton of retired military. Wouldn't it be great if we could volunteer or get a volunteer to protect our kids? I don't want to give too much attention to the shooter, but she was 28 years old. She suffered from mental illness. This was known, but she legally purchased the guns that she used during this incident. And so,
which means she lied on the background form.
Correct.
That the left loves to talk about, universal background checks. People lie, like Hunter Biden, he lied. But that's a whole other conversation, Kathleen.
and we'll do that, Betsy. I'm happy to do that one with you, too, because he's a little crazy.
Exactly. But back to Nashville. First of all, you bring up an outstanding point. There are so many people, my husband and I included, in this community, in this county, who would be more than happy to volunteer our time as retired law enforcement or retired military or both to, you know, spend 4 or 8 hours or whatever a week at a school. Because here's the thing about school resource officers. They are, I used to run the school resource officer program in my community. And the thing about school resource officers is they are far more than just police officers in the school. They are counselors. They are helping with discipline. They are presenting in the classrooms. You know, they are assisting teachers. They are doing so many more things. You know, school security is just one of their issues. What we need, Kathleen, is people who are just paying attention to door security, perimeter security, and who are armed and trained. Now, Senator Marsha Blackburn, yesterday morning, I got contacted by her, and the National Police Association, the organization I work for, asked for support for a bill that she is putting forth that does exactly what you talked about, but it provides funding, it provides grants to schools who want to provide training for volunteer, retired law enforcement and military to work in the schools in their neighborhoods. So we need to keep an eye on that. But in the meantime, one of the things, and I've been pointing this out nationally, you know, I go to the Board of Supervisors meetings as often as I can. I'll be at the next one.
Good.
And to get in front of our Board of Supervisors here in Pima County, I have to surrender my firearm that I carry all the time. I have to surrender that to a deputy who locks it up. I have to get wanded by a deputy, and then I have to go through a metal detector just so I can go and see Adelita Grijalva not do anything other than wring her hands. But anyway, why, Kathleen, is Adelita Grijalva's life more important than the life of our school children here in Pima County? And I want everyone listening to ask themselves that, and then maybe ask your local school board.
Well, I think you go to, and I don't want to judge the life of Adelita versus our kids and grandkids. I'll tell you how I would vote if we're voting, but because I have grandkids in these schools, and as I've never met Adelita. I'm sure she's a nice woman, but I just am, I'm confident that the role of the school board on top of anything else, and we've been talking about it through a different lens this week, same problem, children's safety. You know, they have to be safe from their teachers. They have to be safe with their teachers. They also have to be safe when they're on the grounds of their school. School administrators, besides education, which is should be the top priority, school safety is also got to be right up there. Because if the kids are not in a safe environment, or if they're worried, or if they have fears, they can't learn. And we have to do everything we can as parents, grandparents, community members to ensure that this next generation is protected. There are so many attacks on our children right now. I've never had a time in my lifetime, and I'm getting up there. Social Security Administration says so. And I just want to know, what are we going to do? And wringing hands is not productive. It doesn't solve anything. But in this community, we are rich with retirees that have served honorably in our local police departments, fire departments, and military. And I just think it's an opportunity. And school resource officers are such a valuable tool because the kids talk to those officers. They share with them secrets that are going on. Yeah. And a lot of times having a school resource officer can mean life and death for a student who has reached out to the school resource officer and trusted them. We had that. I came from Mesa, largest school district in the state. Those school resource officers saved lives. And not from shooters, but from incidences that were going on, whether their homes were, whatever was happening, these school resource officers learned of apps that weren't safe, everything. So many different things that you don't think a school resource officer's job is, but they were in communication with those kids, and those kids wanted to be liked by these people in their schools, and these schools officers wanted to protect their kids. And I think it's truly missing right now in Tucson that we don't have more.
Well, and remember, post-George Floyd, TUSD and other schools, you know, started talking about, well, our police officers, our armed police officers, a danger to our children. And, you know, last week in Denver, Colorado, where they had removed school resource officers from the schools in Denver because they were a danger to children of color, as they said, two school administrators were shot by an at-risk high school student who was under an order to be patted down every day before he went into school. Those administrators were not trained in how to control someone and how to conduct a pat-down. The young man was armed and shot two school administrators. If a trained law enforcement officer, a school resource officer, had been there to conduct that pat-down, those administrators would not have been shot. So you're absolutely right. School resource officers need to be brought back, but here in Pima County, our law enforcement organizations are very often incredibly shorthanded.
Yep.
Because of the last almost 3 years of the vilification and the demonization of the American law enforcement officer, which has to stop now. And that, you know, everybody's talking about the heroics of these Nashville police officers.
Yes.
Which absolutely was extraordinary. It was textbook. And that's how American law enforcement officers should respond. Everybody wants to compare it to what happened in Uvalde, Texas, where the police officers stood around for an hour and 20 minutes. That was a leadership problem, and that was an anomaly that is now being addressed. The vast majority of police officers in this country are trained and have the heart and mind to do exactly what those Nashville officers did, run toward the shots and, if necessary, sacrifice their own lives for the lives of those children.
Betsy, we'll be right back. Hang with me. And you're listening to Betsy Smith, spokesperson for the National Law Enforcement Association. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 1030 AM The Voice. We'll be back to talk about school safety. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson with my good friend Betsy Smith, spokesperson for the National Law Enforcement Association, and in her spare time, wife to Dave Smith, who's the Pima County chair. And you do that in your spare time, right? Right, Betsy?
Yes, my 5 minutes extra a week.
Yeah, I think the latter is your full-time job, but I'm just saying, I could be wrong. You do a good job of both. So, as expected, the narrative after this shooting is get rid of all the guns, and as a matter of fact, there was a shouting match between Tom Massey of Kentucky, who's a conservative Republican who believes in the Second Amendment, believes that we need to protect, and Jamal Bowman of New York, saying that Republicans are gutless and cowards for not supporting tougher gun restrictions. Now, I grew up outside of Chicago. You grew up outside of Chicago. Where are the toughest gun restrictions in this country?
Well, that would be the state of New York, the state of Illinois, and the city of Chicago, yeah. And of course the state of California.
And where do we have the most shootings?
Exactly.
With the toughest gun laws.
Truly. I mean, this
insane.
Is such a ridiculous argument. And I was on Twitter for the last couple of days, after the shooting, and there were all these Democrats also blaming the NRA.
Of course.
I thought, this trans girl is probably not a member of the NRA. It's just, it's obscene. And then we had Joe Biden, who inexplicably talked about ice cream before he talked about six dead people in a church school. But he also talked, I believe it was yesterday, about exploding bullets and this and that. Let me just let people know that this young woman was not carrying, exploding bullets. She was carrying a carbine rifle that fires pistol rounds. They do not explode. And she should not have been armed, but the Second Amendment shall not be infringed. That's all you need to know about the Second Amendment. We have a right to have firearms, and we have a right to protect ourselves. And again, let's go back to making sure, let's talk about, should school administrators and teachers, if they wish, carry concealed weapons? This is not about the guns, Kathleen. This is about mental illness. And, we don't forget, on Saturday, we have the Trans Day of Vengeance. I think one of the reasons that they have not yet, and they're about to, release the manifesto of this young woman is I think it's going to be pretty scathing, and I think it's going to be extremely negative toward the trans community.
Oh,
So that's about to be released. But this is not the first transgender person to. We just last week had a King County deputy shot up by a trans person who's also a Black Lives Matter activist. In 2019, there was a private STEM school in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, shot up by a female transgender person. The Club Q shooting in Colorado last November. Remember the gay club that was all shot up was shot up by a member of the gay community. That's why you don't hear about it anymore.
It does not fit the narrative. And so we remove it from the press because the press is in concert.
Yes, exactly.
And so this is why we have to talk about it. I don't disagree. The other thing that happened is this woman, just gonna say this girl, Miss Hale, she had bought seven guns, mm-hmm. and they found a sawed-off shotgun, a second shotgun, and some other things, and from five different local gun stores. Isn't there a way? I mean, because she bought that in a very short amount of time. Isn't there a way that there should be some kind of red flag that comes up? And some people don't like red flag laws, but I think if you're amassing weapons in a short amount of time in a community, I don't know. Is there any way to fix that?
Well, here's the thing. Again,
she had a lie. She lied seven times. I get it.
She lied on her background check. And don't forget, she was receiving mental health counseling from one of the pastors at this school and church. And there is now part of the investigation. There is some discussion that she was actually hunting down that pastor. And I don't know if everyone knows this, but one of the children murdered was the daughter of that pastor. There's more and more and more that is starting to come out. Now, when you say amassing weapons, here's the problem with that. If you've ever gone shopping with my husband, Kathleen,
yes.
There are those who would say, well, that guy's amassing weapons. Because it's shooting is a sport.
Yes.
And for example, the Smiths do a lot of hunting. We enjoy shooting sports. And so having the government come and ask you, gee, you seem to be buying a lot of weapons, that opens up a slippery slope of epic proportion. So what we've got to do is we have got to go back and look at mental health issues. Should this woman have been
able to
in
buy
in some sort of mental institution? You know, should you know, we don't know what her parents knew and when they knew it. You know, she's obviously an adult. She's 28 years old. But we have a mental health crisis in this country. So saying, well, let's take away everybody's guns and watch everybody and how many guns they own and things like that isn't the answer. We have got to look at why are we not addressing mental health? And you can go back, you know, you can go back to the 80s, but then you can look at now what's the biggest part of our homeless problem, Kathleen? Mental illness. What's the biggest part of our mass shootings?
Mental
illness. And we are not addressing it as a nation because those in power don't want to talk about it.
Well, it when you deal with mental illness, and it takes away the politicization of it, right? Because then it's not a them versus us. It removes the gun thing. It now is a problem, and someone with mental illness could equally get in a car and drive the car into people, right? It's not about the gun. And my only concern was that she got these in a short amount of time. My husband owns many guns. He likes to shoot. He goes shooting on a regular basis. He's not as much of a hunter. He likes to fish. But I think that it's important that we understand that clearly this girl had mental illness, and she was allowed to buy guns 7 times. And that's the breakdown, I guess, I'm pointing to, not the amount so much as the while she's in counseling and has that, is there a way to, you know, restrict her ability to do that? You know, we have orders of protection sometimes, and we take away people's weapons when we have orders of protection. You know,
you're absolutely right. And again, this is a young woman with no criminal history. But was she doing this in a bubble? I don't think she was.
No.
And we're going to find out that other people were involved in at least the knowledge. Remember, she had a friend that called the sheriff's department and then eventually called the city police department during the shooting. We got to look at mental illness.
I agree. Betsy, thank you so much for your time and everything you do. And thanks for supporting our chairman. And go out and make it a great day. This is Kathleen Wynn. You've been listening to Wynn Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We'll be back tomorrow with some of our state legislators.